This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Friday, October 25th, 2024. Votive Mass for All the Faithful Departed by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
When we contemplate death, which we should often, we should never lose sight of God's mercy. Confidence in the divine mercy. I think I want to put a little footnote here. The divine mercy is not something that Saint Faustina came up with in the 20th century. The divine mercy started in the Garden of Eden after the fall in the garden when our Lord sought out Adam and Eve as opposed to just emptying his wrath out on this place. He showed his mercy there. Adam, where are you? He receives Adam's confession. He clothes them and he does not kill them right then and there. This shows his mercy throughout the scriptures, particularly in the Old Testament. You read one of the Psalms, Psalm 135. You read it, it's almost monotonous. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. And he's this, and his mercy endureth forever. And his mercy endureth forever. Verse after verse after verse, his mercy endureth forever. God's mercy is what we should live for. When we think about purgatory, in days when we honor the dead, purgatory, if you are doing the right thing, it can be quite intimidating. By doing the right thing, I mean paying attention to it, not listening to this nonsense. I mean, it's unfortunate. I've actually heard Catholics, we don't believe that anymore. Don't believe it and see how that works out for you. Purgatory is scriptural. Where's the word of purgatory? Where's the word Trinity in the scriptures? It's nowhere, but God's a Trinity. Where is the word incarnation in the scriptures? Nowhere, but Jesus Christ was incarnate. The word purgatory is not in there, but purgation is throughout the scriptures. Our works are going to be tried by fire, says in Corinthians, New Testament. And so, yeah, purgatory is a real thing. And if you're paying attention to it, it's intimidating. I have to watch people sometime because there are certain individuals who will delve into things like purgatory. And all of a sudden, it becomes like overwhelming for them. And they're just scared to death of purgatory. Praise God. I'm glad you are. Fix it here. I don't want to go to purgatory. Don't. There are ways that you don't go to purgatory. Live your life like that. That's a good thing. Expiate your sins on this side, not on the next. But even when you talk about purgatory, we never, as I said before, we never want to lose sight of the fact of God's mercy. Purgatory is merciful. Because, you know, if you got down to brass tacks, everybody, when you die, because, I mean, the presentation is, you live in this world like you should, and if you do the right things, you'll go to heaven. If you don't, you'll go to hell. And given our Lord's stats, the way he presents it, there are a whole lot of more people going to be going to hell than there are that are going to go to heaven, contrary to what you hear constantly in our day and age. If it was just up to that, most people, the vast majority of people, do not die sinless. Very few people die sinless. God's mercy is manifest first and foremost in purgatory. You've lived your whole life. You've lived your whole life, Catholic, and you know what the church teaches, or should know what the church teaches, not the faddish things you hear there. But what your church teaches, you need to understand, Catholic, that you did not live in accord with the way you went, the way I desire, the way I demanded. You did not live that way. If you look at the presentation from baseline, where should you go? You should go to hell. And there's purgatory. Purgatory itself is God's mercy. It shows his mercy. It shows an unfathomable amount of mercy. You had your whole life and you didn't do it, but here you go. Here's purgatory. When we look at purgatory, yes, intimidating as it is, and it should be scary beyond belief. There are a few things that when you look at it, God's, as he manifests his mercy there. One is the consoling of souls. Two is mitigating their sufferings. And then three, he gives us countless ways to avoid it. We need to take advantage of that mercy. Not just talk about God's mercy, but take advantage of this. The first thing, consoling the souls in purgatory. You wind up there. We know from grace and private revelations and the way that things are described for us in Scripture that our Lord himself visits the souls in purgatory. Remember, after our Lord's death, where did he, what did he do? What does our creed tell us? He descended into hell to preach the gospel. We read that in Peter's letters also, not just where do the, why do we have it in the creed? Because it says it in the Scriptures that he descended into hell. If he went down there to preach the gospel, to show those holy souls that he had died for their sins, and to show the vanquished why they were being vanquished, he himself consoles us. The Blessed Virgin Mary consoles the souls in purgatory. She is the mother of the church militant, the church suffering, and the church triumphant. She does not leave her children to languish in purgatory without her consolations and intercession. The holy angels, your guardian angel. I'm always about the angels. Talked about them a couple of St. Raphael's Day was yesterday. Tuesday, we did a votive mass for the angels. Why? Because the angels are of so much importance, because I emphasize all the time, your guardian angels. Your guardian angel's job isn't done until you are in heaven. So when you go to purgatory, there you go. He's going to be there to console you also. Keep your eyes focused on what awaits you. Our Lord consoles us in purgatory by increasing graces. When we're baptized, we receive faith, hope, and charity, those external graces we don't have by our nature. We receive them at baptism in seedbed form. We are supposed to nurture them throughout our lives of faith, and most of us do not take advantage of those graces. When you go to purgatory, it's like, why do you go to purgatory? You go to purgatory because you have not exercised those three virtues the way you could have. You have not exercised faith, because if you had the faith that we should know that God is deadly serious about what he says, and we should have done what he said, and we would have avoided it, but we didn't. Hope. We negated a holy hope, and we put our hope in the basket of, well, I'm a baptized, confirmed Catholic. I'm good. I've got my sacraments. Yeah, I go to Mass on Sunday. You know, so what? I do this every other day of the week. You know, that's no big deal. That's just between me and God. Yes, it is. And if you're not in conformity, there's going to be a price to pay for that. We need a hope and a holy hope. We need to embrace the promises that our Lord Jesus Christ made, and supernatural hope. Charity. This is the biggie. Charity. How we exercise charity in this world. And first and foremost, to whom? To God. If you really love him as much as you say, we come in here, we sing songs about it, we say prayers about it, we say amen at the end of it. You know, we do all these things to say we're a charitable God. And then we don't do what he says all the time. With our Lord, doesn't he, you know, our Lord, you know, how could you call me Lord and not do what I say? You know, and if we're going to be truthful with ourselves and introspective, we all do this on occasion. So, you know, we go to purgatory because of the things we lacked. And while we're there, and this is why the sufferings are so intense there, because God wants to foster those things. You have faith in the fact that you will get out of purgatory. You have a holy hope, and God will expeditiously accept the expiations and the sufferings of others for you. You will explode with charity toward God, because you want to escape that place so bad. And you will know with beyond a shred of a doubt why you were there. And you will appreciate your shortcomings, and they will be fixed. And when you're there, God teaches us, probably first and foremost, resignation to His will. We can say we're resigned to His will down here, but if we don't act like it, we're not. Oh, I'm resigned to your will when I'm in Mass on Sunday, or when I'm reading the Scriptures, or a holy book. Then I'm resigned to your will. I think about it in those terms. But when I go out, I still kind of do what I want. I talk to people like I want, you know, and all this kind of other stuff that we do on a regular basis. We're not resigned to His will. In purgatory, we will be resigned to His will because you won't be able to help it. You're not going to be able to do one thing for yourself, not one thing. So you will be taught resignation to His will. You're going to be there as long as I deem it necessary to purge you of your sins. St. Catherine of Genoa, on all these things, again, it sounds so intimidating and everything, but it's good for us. And souls that are in purgatory, and there are some of the saints that really, really had an affinity to the souls of purgatory. St. Catherine of Genoa is one of them. St. Catherine of Genoa, she said, the soul in purgatory is going to have such charity toward God, such resignation to His will, that they will do anything, absolutely anything, endure anything to have that beatific vision. A quote from St. Catherine of Genoa said, if the soul could find another purgatory far more terrible than what purgatory is, that soul would plunge itself therein. You love God so much. You want to be with Him so much because you'll know the reality of things that you will put yourself in a worse state to get it. This is St. Catherine of Genoa, who had a lot of revelations about purgation. So this is the consolation that we receive there, even in the horrors of the place, to know that they are to our benefit and our increase, and it will foster within us a love of God that we can't even comprehend in this world. The second thing I said was mitigating the sufferings. How does He do that? This is why one of the reasons He established the church in this world, because as I said before, souls in purgatory can't do anything for themselves. They can't pray for themselves. They can do nothing for themselves. They are the least of your brethren. They are more helpless than an infant. At least an infant, I always say, can scream and cry when they're uncomfortable or hungry. The souls in purgatory cannot. They can do absolutely nothing for themselves. So they need our suffrages. Every time you say a rosary or a decade of the rosary or a prayer or you fast for a soul in purgatory or you give alms for a soul in purgatory, all of these things you do for them because they can do nothing for themselves. Not only does it benefit them, it benefits you. So not only is through our suffrages for the souls in purgatory, and this is why it's very important to celebrate masses regularly, very regularly, for the souls in purgatory, because not only do our suffrages mitigate their purgation, if we're doing them correctly, they're mitigating ours because they are meritorious in God's sight because we're doing right for the dead. That's one of the corporal works of mercy. This is something that we do. Our suffrages. This is how God mitigates their sufferings through you. St. Magdalene de Pazzi, another one who is really attuned to the souls in purgatory, her brother died, and she used to get a lot of visions of different souls in purgatory. Some she knew, some she didn't, some she was praying for, and she would be to have visions for things like that. Again, private revelations, give them or take them, but she's a saint of Holy Church now. St. Magdalene de Pazzi, her brother died, and immediately she had a vision of his suffering in purgatory. And you think, oh no, my brother's in purgatory. There was actually a little, she offered a prayer to God for his soul. She didn't get to talk to him, her brother. And she said in her prayer about her brother, in this world, you would not listen to my advice. And now you ardently desire that I should hear you. This is, you know, that's a person who understands what's going on. I tried to tell you why you were in this world, and you wouldn't listen to me. And now all of a sudden, the reality is striking, and now you want me to hear you. Why? Because he can't do anything for himself. This is Saint of Holy Church. This is what we need to understand about, you know, God mitigating the circumstances of people. Because it's kind of interesting, too, the way she ends up the prayer. She says, Lord, please send him out of purgatory. Her final were words to in her prayer, but to her brother, remain here, my dear brother, and complete your purification in peace. This is the way we need to understand this. This is the reality of what awaits us. And we want to mitigate that, or I should say, God mitigates that if we do what we're supposed to do and offer suffrages. So, you know, these graces that our Lord, that's the third consolation of souls in purgatory, and it's more directed toward us who are still living. The avoidance of purgatory. There are countless things. Every time you come to Mass on Sunday, every homily that you listen to, every time you read the scriptures, and it's a this, do this, don't do that, all this kind of stuff like that. Every time you say it, that is God giving you graces and means as to how to avoid purgatory. He doesn't want you to go there. It pains him. It's like when a parent spanks a child. Unless there's something wrong with you, you don't like doing that. It makes you feel bad, but that whole, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. That's true, but nonetheless, it's got to be done. God doesn't desire casting souls in purgatory. We do it to ourselves. And again, like a parent who tells your kid, because you shouldn't just spank your kid for making a mistake, right? They make a mistake, you teach them, don't do that again. They do it again and again, and then there's finally that point where we reach, okay, now we got to take it to this level. That's us. Every time we do something spiritual, every single time, it is God's means of grace is to providing us an out for purgatory. We're like little children. That's why we say God the Father. We're like little children. We don't do what Father says all the time, over and over and over again. Purgatory is a spanking. Purgatory is a spiritual spanking. Now go to your room, spiritual time out. This is the reality of what it is. We need to understand that. Did you not go out of your way to try to avoid corporal punishment from your parents? Yes. Why do we go out of our way to try to avoid corporal punishment from God? Why? Because most Catholics don't hear about it anymore. It's a travesty. And it's to the detriment of souls. Because a lot of people, you don't hear about purgatory. A lot of people wind up there. What else don't you hear about in our day and age? Hell. This is a dangerous thing. We need to hear about these things. We need to hear about these things, not to scare us to death about them, although it's helpful. But we want to hear them to avoid it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.